Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to give you a cordial invitation to stay with me. It's going to be a few minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a little bit of education, all done with no manipulation because we don't try to manipulate people. Don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to get you to join anything. We're not trying to have you give up anything. The objective of this show is to give you something that's accurate information, not human speculation. Accurate information from the canon of Scripture called the Bible, the Word of God. That's right, it's a show about the Bible, so don't turn it off yet, because we're no ranting and no raving, no jumping up and down, just some accurate information that will help you verify and hopefully identify the plan of God for your life. If you want to orient and adjust to that plan, that's up to you. But if you'll give me a fair hearing, if you'll give me an opportunity, I will explain to you some amazing things that are found in the living Word of God. You know, the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than even a two-edged sword. That means that it cuts into our hearts when we read it, when we hear it. And our hearts are where our memory center is. It's where our frame of reference is. You know, a lot of people get confused about that, but you have a mind. And the mind is pronounced N-O-U-S in the Greek New Testament, the nous. And you also have a heart, and that's pronounced cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, in the Greek New Testament. We get from cardia, cardiac, which is an English word for cardiology and the heart, etc. When we learn God's Word, it comes into our nous, or into our mind. When the Word of God is staged in our mind, we comprehend it, we understand it. But it hasn't done us any good until we are able to metabolize it or cycle it over to our heart. Here is where the application is made. So remember, hearing and keeping the Word of God is what Jesus said brings happiness in Luke 11:27-28. He said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and who keep it. Thus, going to church, just going through the ritual without the reality, being a member of the Sunday morning nod to God crowd, is not going to cut the mustard with God. It's not going to show favor with God because you showed up and you went through the ritual. It's the application of the Word of God into your life that impresses Him. And that's what He's looking for. The Bible says a person's arrogance will bring him low, but a lifestyle of humility will attain honor, Proverbs 29:33. And so how do we have a lifestyle of humility? Well, humility is a mental mindset. Romans 12:3 says, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility, as God has given to us, each one of us, a standard of thinking from His Word. That standard of thinking is not to think above and beyond what we should think. And that's what Romans 12:1-2 is about. We are to have the mind of Christ. And that's why we're mandated by Paul in Philippians 2:5 to think like he thought, to have the mind of Christ. And the way that we get that, 1 Corinthians 2:16, is the New Testament is indeed the mind of Christ. As you study the New Testament, as you learn the Word of God, then you learn to think like He thought in the face of adversity, in the face of difficulty, in the face of whatever He went through. We may never know, but He handled it without sinning. He never became afraid. He never worried. He never got bitter. These are all indications that you can live the same sort of lifestyle. It's called the Christian life. And He passed it on to us. He demonstrated it. He was the one that invented it and used it and then gave it to us. The Christian life, living like Christ lived. Now, He never had to confess His sin because he who knew no sin was made sin for us, the Bible clearly says. You and I must confess our sin. That's the secret to living the Spirit-filled life. We cannot live a Spirit-filled life with sin in our life, because sin quenches the Holy Spirit and grieves the Holy Spirit. And we have two mandates. One is be filled with the Spirit. And we have another one that says do not quench the Holy Spirit. Sin quenches the Holy Spirit. But we can go and confess our sin as per 1 John 1:9, which is in effect problem-solving device number one for us. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. What a wonderful promise that is from God. You see, here's the difference. We're not talking about, if we're talking about our position and our experience, all right? Let's look at it this way. Your position in Christ means that you have perfect righteousness, but your experience in time means that you still sin since you're saddled with the sin nature. Now, you may think you don't sin because you're not a heavy drinker, you're not an immoral person, you don't cheat on your taxes, you don't watch R-rated movies, so maybe you figure you don't sin. But let me remind you that sin can be something you think as well as something you say. So when you worry, that's a sin. When you get angry, that's a sin. When you get bitter, that's a sin. When you get vindictive, that's a sin. Mental attitude sins are some of the worst, and we can commit those never even opening our mouth. And so, you have to remember this. If you're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've got to learn to handle sin and keep it out of the way, so you confess it immediately. And this gives you the opportunity to be guided, controlled, filled by the Holy Spirit. And then we have an amazing verse I want to look at today. An amazing verse that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said. This comes out of Matthew 11:28. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Here is the word zugos, Z-U-G-O-S, for yoke. Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, is asking us to yoke up, like you would yoke up a mule, like you would put a yoke on a mule, and you would plow with a mule. And if the mule starts to wander off to the right or wander off to the left, you goad him. You have a goad, and it's a kind of a little sticker that sticks him and makes him turn back to the right or back to the left, so that he plows a straight line. Our Lord Jesus Christ will goad us through discipline. The Bible says those that He loves, He disciplines in Hebrews 12. And so that we know that happens. We know that we get warning discipline. This is where He warns us when we're out of line. We know we get intense discipline. This is where He spanks us when we're out of line. And we know there's something called dying discipline, and this is where He removes us when we stay out of line. That doesn't mean we lose our salvation. That's not what I'm saying. You're still going to go to heaven, yes, but you're not going to have the rewards. You can read 1 Corinthians 5 for yourself. You can see about the man who is committing immorality within the church at Corinth, and Paul puts him under sin unto death. But the Bible says his soul and spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. But warning discipline and intense discipline are the two that you and I face the most. And warning discipline may come through Scripture. Heck, it could even come through a billboard. It could come through a TV show. It's somehow that God will warn you and speak to you that you're out of line. When He does that, then it's time to rebound and recover your spiritual life. Rebound and resume your momentum. See, you are to have momentum as a believer. You are to be, as the Bible says, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The one thing that Satan is going to seek to do is to stop you from growing. He doesn't want you to have any momentum. So he's an expert at distracting you. He can distract you with your sin nature trends and tempt you. He can distract you with prosperity. He can distract you with hobbies. He can distract you in any way that will stop you from growing. Now, how do you grow? What do I mean when I say grow? Listen carefully. I mean, number one, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And number two, you're listening to the teaching of the Word of God on a consistent basis. And number three, you're applying what you're learning. That's what I mean by growing. If you're not listening to the teaching of the Word of God on a consistent basis, you are not growing. And I mean that. So what do I mean a consistent basis? Do I mean a 30-minute message on Sunday morning? Is that growing? Well, if you compare it to a meal, I would think you might starve to death. If you want to grow, I would suggest that you listen to the teaching of the Word of God on a daily basis. Now, this is where we run into a problem, because a lot of pastors don't do this. They'll give you a 30-minute Sunday morning service and maybe 30 minutes on Sunday night and maybe a few minutes on Wednesday. That's really all the time they have for teaching, because they are required, even mandated, to visit the elderly, to call on the sick, to run around and do other things that really are not their job description. Those are the job descriptions of the deacons. The job description of the pastor is to study, 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 and teach, 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 and make you rich. His job is to make you rich in the Word of God, to give you a treasure in your earthly body. This is what Paul called it, so that you can glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. This is always about lifting up Christ and glorifying Christ. And how can you glorify Christ if you don't even know what it requires, if you don't know how he thought, if you don't understand how he handled things? How can you do it the same way? This requires teaching the Word of God. And there are men that I'm well aware of who study and teach on a consistent basis. They are not lured into the trap of counseling. They're not lured into the trap of visiting people all the time, and they set aside time to study, study, study every day so that they can teach God's Word accurately. Now, Jesus said, come unto me in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all of you that are heavy laden, those of you that labor, and I will give you rest. Here's the divine promise. If you're carrying a load that's too heavy for you to carry, the Lord Jesus Christ offers you a reprieve. He says he will give you rest. He will take the load off of you. This is an amazing thing, call it a relaxed mental attitude, that you can actually relax under the difficulty that you face. And how do you do that? You use what the Bible calls problem-solving device number three, the faith rest drill. When you use a faith rest drill, and we've gone over this in this radio show, gone over it time and time and time again. If you don't have it, be sure you contact me and let me send you the book Christian Problem Solving that outlines all 10 of the unique problem solving devices that my pastor taught many, many years ago. They are the secret to living the Christian life. If you don't know these 10 unique problem solving devices, at best, you're going to go through your entire life spinning your wheels and never digging in and never advancing in the plan of God. But the faith rest drill is critical to the relaxed mental attitude. So our Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn, here's the key word, learn of me. Learn of me. Now, where do I get the motivation to live the Christian life? Here it is. I see what he did. I see how he did it. I see how he handled it. I learn about him. That's why the New Testament is written about Christ. That's why we see so much about his life. These are the things that we are to learn. We learn of him. And he goes on to say, you can see that I have humility. And this is the key for us as well. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. This is humility. Our Lord Jesus Christ had absolute authority over the kingdoms of this world, but he also had absolute humility under the authority of his heavenly Father. Humility is an interesting thing. The absence of humility is arrogance. And the one thing about an arrogant person is you cannot teach him anything. And so our Lord is indicating that if you want to learn something, you must have some humility. The first thing you have to realize is you don't know it all. The second thing you have to realize is to shut up. Keep your mouth shut when someone else is teaching that knows more than you know. You don't need to interrupt and interject your viewpoint. This is what the woman did in Luke 11, 27 and 28 when our Lord was teaching and she blurted out, happiness belongs to the womb that bore you and the breast upon which you nursed. Our Lord had to correct her publicly and tell her she's wrong. But this is what people do. They think they know more than the pastor. They know more than the preacher. They want to blurt out some human viewpoint, a sentimental, emotional viewpoint that means nothing. And all for one reason, so that they can be the center of attention. You have to learn something here. You are not the center of attention. The sooner you get your eyes off of yourself, the less unrealistic self-image you will have. That's nothing but arrogance. Arrogance looks at self. Arrogance thinks that self is smarter than everyone else. Arrogance justifies why it does what it does. The Lord Jesus Christ said, put your eyes on me. Take your eyes off of yourself. Come to me if you're heavy laden and you're laboring in life. If things don't seem fair. If you're carrying a load that's more than you can bear. He said, come to me. How do you come to him? Well, first of all, you receive him as your Savior. The first thing that he bore for you is your sin. He bore your sin on the cross. The Bible says he who knew no sin was made sin for us. There's no way you could have paid the debt. You don't have the wherewithal to pay the sin debt, but he paid it for you. So that's the first thing. He paid your sin debt. You had a heavy load right there, and that load is gone now once you believe in Jesus Christ, and his righteousness is given to you. Thus, you're qualified to have an eternal relationship with God the Father through the finished work of God the Son on the cross. And the second thing, he bore the difficulty of living in the devil's world. He demonstrates to you how to do it, how to live in the devil's world. Matthew 4, when Satan tempted him, do you remember what he did? He quoted scripture, scripture, scripture three times. This is indicative of the fact that you and I must know the scripture. We must know the word of God. This is how we counteract the devices of Satan, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Paul wrote it in Ephesians 6, pick up the shield of faith. The shield of faith is the scripture. It's knowing the Bible, knowing the word of God. There are over 7,000 promises found in the Bible. That's your shield. How many of them do you know? How many of them can you claim? You see, it just is very simple. The Christian life is made up of you executing God's plan. What is God's plan? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. And how do you do that? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you take God's word and learn it and use it under the filling of the Holy Spirit, which is rebound. You can't be filled with the Spirit with unconfessed sin in your life. But if you have dealt with your sin and admitted it to God, and you are filled with the Spirit when you study, under the ministry of a qualified pastor, you grow if you apply what you learn. If you don't apply what you learn, then it just went into your noose or into your mind and you comprehended it. That's why the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. There are people that can quote Scripture right and left. They are the spiritual hierarchy of every church, but they are the biggest losers in the church too, because they're arrogant and they're self-righteous. They judge, they criticize, they condemn. There's no application. They just know it all. See, that's the danger of knowing Scripture, but there's no humility. So the more you know, the more humility it requires. The first thing you have to learn about humility is when to keep your mouth shut. That's important. And so as you learn and listen and grow, you are taking the yoke of Jesus Christ, and you see that He is humble. And He goes on to say in verse 30 of Matthew 11, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's take a look at that for a minute. Easy. What exactly is it that you think God's going to ask you to do that you're not qualified to do? You think God's going to send you to Africa, to South America, to go witness to the Eskimos and the Arctic? Is that what you think? See, God is not going to send you where you're not qualified to go. He has a plan for your life. He's given you a spiritual gift, and that spiritual gift will function when you find your personal sense of destiny. Problem-solving device number 6 out of the 10, personal sense of destiny. And so as you learn of Him, you will find that His yoke or His guidance or His control is easy. It's not hard. What's hard about study to show thyself approved unto God? What's hard about growing the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? What's hard about that? I can tell you what's hard about legalism. Legalism will impose rules and regulations in your life that you cannot live up to. The religious legalist will judge you and malign you because you don't live up to the standards that he imposes, which, by the way, he doesn't live up to either. So you see, organized religion, no one can live up to those standards. But the Christian life, well, that's a different story. See, you just have to have the mind of Christ. You have to put on the yoke and learn of Him, and you will discover that it's very easy. It's not complicated. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's not going to put a load on you that you can't carry. He's not going to give you a load that you cannot bear. What the Lord Jesus Christ offers to you is something that's very easy and very minimum. It's not going to require all of your time. It's not going to require that you take every dime out of the bank and send it to some missionary. That's not the deal. What it's going to require is this, that you stay filled with the Holy Spirit through rebound. Number 2, that you take in God's Word on a daily basis under the authority of a well-qualified pastor. And number 3, that you apply what you learn into your life. And number 4, that will give maximum glorification to God, because you will be replicating the life of Christ. You will be representing Christ to those in your periphery. They will see Christ in you. You will be magnetic because of your attitude, because of your attitude of empathy and sympathy towards those that are suffering, because of your attitude of humility towards those that you come into contact with. See, you're not always running your mouth trying to prove you're smarter than everyone else. You're not always trying to get the last word in. You know when to keep your mouth shut, and you know when to speak. That's humility. Humility is an amazing, amazing thing. You know, the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. I don't know if you've read that or not, but in the book of Numbers, it makes that statement. And yet, here's Moses that did not go into the promised land. And the reason was he misrepresented God at the second Meribah. He struck a rock when God simply told him to speak to the rock. He got mad. He got angry. Angry at the Jews who were about to turn back again, like the generation before them had done. And he chewed them out and struck that rock. And God gave water. That wasn't the problem. The problem was he was supposed to teach grace and he taught judgment instead. See, this is where we have to be very careful. Anger can destroy our humility. Anger on the interstate, anger at your kids, anger at your family. Anger can destroy your humility. You're not allowed to get angry. It's a sin. Stay away from that thumos, the Greek word, thunderous anger. If you have an anger problem, that's not humility. That's you feeling like you've been violated. That's you feeling like you're going to get even with a jerk that did this to me. You know what I mean? You've been there, haven't you? So what does the Lord say? My yoke is easy. Is he going to ask you to do something you can't do? No. My burden is light. Is he going to hook you up with some task that you can't do? No. What does he ask you to do? Learn of me. Come to me and learn of me. That's all he asks you to do. Learn of him. Can you do that? Can you find time on a consistent basis to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ every day? If you'd like to do that and you don't know how, contact me. I'll tell you. I'll tell you how to get information from well-qualified pastors that can teach you daily. You can get the DVDs or the MP3s and sit down at your table, at your coffee table, and take in the Word of God on a daily basis, just like I do. Daily. That's the first thing I do every morning when I get up. Cup of coffee, sit down in front of the computer, and listen to my pastor teach the Word of God to me. That's where I have the resources to teach it to you. And that's what this is talking about. So I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes, the host of The Flotline, saying thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening to The Flotline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.